At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey, what's going on, friends? My podcast every day is broken up into two parts on the free platform. The first part, Act 1, is right now. When it's all done, go right on over to Act 2 to get the second half of the podcast. Thank you so much for checking out my show. Hello, friends. Welcome in to the Eric Zane Show podcast, the daily show where I discuss news, nonsense, and my personal adventures each and every day of the work week from right here in the Impact Power Sports studio. You can find Impact Power Sports online at ImpactPowerSportsMI.com. That's ImpactPowerSportsMI.com. They can get you into a Yamaha golf cart if that's your thing. Perhaps it's a side-by-side. Those look fun. See a lot of those as folks are traveling to and from up north on my way back from Fear Bunker North. And I'm like, God, that looks fun. Perhaps a motorcycle, a scooter, go-kart, anything fun with a motor, they have it at Impact Power Sports. And they have a full service shop, too, in case you need anything done on your existing gear, or perhaps you're tricking out your sled. They have all of that stuff for you at Impact Power Sports in Rockford, Michigan. I was up north Friday. We got up there Friday afternoon, Saturday, Sunday. Friday night, I was watching the Lions game. Barely. It's one of those exhibition games, you know, where, like, people are fighting for jobs. And this one poor dude, Maurice Norris is his name. He, like, tackled some guy from Atlanta. And then the next thing you know, everybody thought he was dead. That was scary stuff. I actually have video of it that a lot of people have not seen because they wouldn't even show the replay. I'll get to that in a second. But the next thing you know, he's down on the turf and they're it's an injury timeout. And then you could sense it was a problem because the coach for the Lions, Dan Campbell, he rushed out onto the field. You know, normally it's like, okay, it's just a cramp or a sprained ankle or something like that. No big deal. No, there's something going on. He laid down there for like 20 minutes and you're wondering what the hell's going on. And then the ambulance comes on the field. I talked about this on my radio show today. The last time I saw an ambulance on the field was when I was playing Madden football on Sega Genesis back in the 1990s. I remember that. You're playing Madden football and a player gets hurt, his legs all... And then an ambulance comes driving onto the field, running people over. It's great. So, okay, then they get him out of there, and then what now? You know, and right away I was thinking, well, they can't possibly, like, play the game anymore. There's nothing that they can do. I mean, just call it. But they didn't, and I guess that both teams had agreed to do this, where, like, Atlanta has the ball, hike, quarterback gets it, and he just stands there, and they're going to have a live play to run out the clock. No one's going to tackle him. He's just going to stand there. No one's going to store it. So they just started, like, conversing and praying. Like, they, like, gathered and they were hanging on to each other's hands in a circle, praying for the guy. And so I was like, Jesus, that's like bizarre. You don't really see that often. I don't think I've never seen a scene like this. And I thought he was dead. There's no way this dude is alive. Or he's paralyzed, like from the neck down. And when they loaded him into the ambulance, they had like the oxygen. He looked crappy. He looked very, very crappy, to be sure. So Then they don't update it. They end the game. Then finally, after like 10 minutes of like just standing there holding the ball, the ref said, all right, the game's suspended. Why did that take so long? I don't understand why that, why they didn't just, what, were the refs afraid to make an executive decision? You know, I mean, come on. Teams don't want to play. Just wipe out the minutes. Everybody goes home. It's an exhibition game. Let's just fans don't want to see it. Chris says he should have casually walked into the end zone right when they were praying. It turns out, though, the guy was fine. He went to the hospital, and I went to bed. I was actually worried. I actually woke up in the middle of the night, and I don't have cell service or anything like that up there, but I'm trying to maybe get like a glimpse of cell service to see what the update was, and I didn't hear anything. And then by the time the next day rolls around, he's like, yeah, I'm fine. All good. He got his bell rung. Thank you for subscribing, David in Hudsonville. I appreciate that. Turns out, though, that there was a reason for why he was having the seizure. And I'm going to let this physician explain it.
And last night's...
And in the her video, you'll see footage of not only the tackle when the running back's leg hit Norris's head to then Norris having a seizure on the field. That was hard to watch, but he's okay, so it's not the end of the world.
It's preseason Detroit Lions versus Atlanta Falcons game. Lions safety Maurice Norris suffered a scary head injury that ended the game. So let me break down the injury and what exactly happened on the field. Norris went in to tackle Falcons running back Nathan Carter, and his head struck Carter's knee, right, causing there a hyperextension of his neck, and then he struck the turf and sustained what looked like seizure activity. And if we look at this footage, you can see that he is indeed...
He's shaking like Amanda's vibrator after coming out of her butt.
...indeed having a seizure. So was it a neck injury or was it a head injury? The answer is actually both. Sudden hyperextension of the head...
This chick is oddly hot.
...neck can cause momentary disruption of brain function. That can happen with a violent hit to the head or sudden hyperextension with an auto accident. It occurs within seconds of the injury. The likely mechanism of what happened here is something called an impact seizure. That's when someone sustained a blow to the front of the head and the neck suddenly hyperextends, causing the brain to hit the back of the skull. That mechanical force of the brain hitting the back of the skull will stretch and disrupt the neurons in the brain and will cause a sudden depolarization of the nerves. And basically, they all fire at one time, causing the seizure. Kind of like the brain short circuits all of a sudden. The key point is if a seizure happens after a sudden hyperextension of the neck, it's usually considered an impact seizure. And the good news is that long-term risk of epilepsy in this type of seizure is very low. It was released that he's doing okay in the hospital and sustained no major injury. With this being the first game of the preseason, I am proud of how the medical teams responded immediately and stabilized this man to get him to the hospital. Now, they stabilized his cervical spine as well, because even though it was pretty apparent that he sustained an impact seizure by looking at the video, it's always important with anybody with a sudden hyperextension of the neck to protect the spine in case there was any other type of injury to the neck itself. Now, the good news is it was released that he's doing okay. He's moving his arms and legs and has sustained no reported spinal cord injury. And my best guess is that this was an impact seizure. I'm wishing him all the best in his recovery. Hats off to the Atlanta Falcons and the Detroit Lions medical team, who responded quickly and appropriately to this very...
So if you're Maurice Norris, you know, this guy's trying to get a spot on the team. This is excellent for you. You're okay. You're back with the team. You're going to get a shot to continue to try to become an NFL player. He didn't play much last year. He was on the practice squad. He was good enough to be on the practice squad. He might have gotten in a game or two for special teams. No big deal. And so if you're him, it's important to use this to springboard all this emotion. Okay? And people are going to want you to do well. So it's really important that you focus and stay on the team, because people are going to love you. Amanda is here. She writes, hey, guys, I have to go into work, but I wanted to let you know I signed up for in-home walking workouts. I'm on day two, and I've been doing my hoop thing. Darling, anything that you do every day that causes you to be in deficit is a good thing. I don't care if it's fiddling your bean for 11 straight hours, as long as ultimately you run in deficit and you're able to lose the weight slowly over time. So there you go. I'll get to the fat-a-thon. In fact, now's a perfect time. A perfect time to discuss fat-a-thon. Which, by the way, let me get this out of the way. I am in like the Amanda zone. She's actually doing better than I am. I have got to get serious. I packed it on, and I gained 2 pounds. I am at 181, and this is horrible. I am down only 4.5 pounds after 15 weeks. I am not putting my best foot forward, and I am literally not leading by example. I have got to focus. I'm annoyed with myself, but my God, wait till you hear about the sausage that I had over the weekend. We cooked these brats, and then I had like onions and peppers, and then I was making these amazing brat sandwiches out of them. Jeremy says, come on, easy. No, you're right. You're absolutely right. It's ridiculous. What you do is you take the brat, and instead of just taking a brat and putting it in a bun, what you do is you slice it into like thin like strips. First, you cut the whole brat in half, and then you cut strips. And then you kind of build this massive sandwich of disease, and you top it with onions and peppers. It was amazing, it's embarrassing. The thing is, when you go up north and you're spending time up there, calories don't count, which is a horrible attitude. So I have no excuse other than I chose not to do it. I was an asshole, and I'll try to turn it around this week. I take it back. I will turn it around this week. I promise you. But I want to get into Amanda, which is something that you don't hear often. No one would say, hey, I want to get into Amanda. But she is getting closer, ever so slowly, to actually becoming desirable. Amanda weighed 307.2 last week at this time. And she was at her wit's end. And then she did the, purge, because she had a colonoscopy. And she's kept that weight at that same point. So now she is down to 299.6. Now, she was packing on the pounds. She was on an absolute roll. And now, I mean, this is the biggest loss of any participant in Fat-A-Thon that we have seen. We have been doing Fat-A-Thon for now 50 weeks. No one has had this much of a loss. From last week to this week, she has dropped 7.8 pounds. So remember now, when she did the colonoscopy, she was down under 300. So she's right now at 299.6 for a loss of 7.8. That means that she had 7.8 pounds of feces in her, okay? And that's one of the most horrible things I have ever spoken in my life, that she has had to squeege out 7.8 pounds of wrinkled loaf to be where she is right now. As of last week, she was up overall. Like in 6 weeks of effort, she had gained 5.5 pounds. Now, after this monumental week, never before seen in the history of Fatathon in 50 weeks. She is down overall 2.3 pounds in the 7 weeks that she has been at it. So there is nothing wrong with what's going on there. So why don't we look at this next week and we can reconvene and you will again have these great habits. You're doing your hula hoop or whatever the hell it is, and you're doing the walking. My God, don't stop. And we can reconvene in 1 week and have an amazing number and more accolades for you. So there you go. I'll just tell you right now, the star not only has had the biggest loss in any 1 week in the history of Fatathon, but she gets the star on the blubber for this week. Congrats to you. Corey says the water weight goes fast. Well, all right. You got to start somewhere. And everybody has that big water weight loss, but it still adds up in my brain that you have dropped 7.8 pounds. Congrats. Rebecca is what we call flat. Not really a rise, not really a drop in any way. I guess if you want to look at it exactly, she is up 0.8. So technically the scale is going in the wrong direction in this week, but she said she feels great. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you're down 16.1 in 23 weeks. You know what you have to do. And just continue exercising and counting those calories. I mean, it's tough for me to preach that to you because I'm disgusting right now. I can see it. I can feel it. Jeremy describes her as very juggy. Now, Jeremy, as you know, a lot has happened in 50 weeks. I keep saying 50 because 50, sometimes people think I'm saying 15. Jeremy, because of this show, lost all the weight. Well, because of him, lost all the weight. We've been following him for that much time. And he has now become the significant other of our very own Rebecca. And so he says she is very, very juggy. And I have seen Rebecca in person, and Jeremy is right. She has large boobies. There is some mass to those boobies. I would say between Amanda and Rebecca, like if you were to weigh their titties, the amount of weight that you would have in titty alone of these two legends would be remarkable. I'm guessing you've got close to 80 pounds of tit between them. These are the ones who, like, before all the other girls got titties when you were growing up, they had titties. That was a magical time, by the way. I don't know if you ever snapped chicks' bras, you know, as you were in, like, grade school. Oh, my God. And they'd get pissed. Oh, stop it! And then they tell the teacher, and the teacher's like, yeah, there's nothing I can do about it. That was at a time when you would do that. You would sexually harass the girls that you went to school with, and they, you know, the teachers don't do anything. I can't help it. That's the way it is. You could actually grab their asses, and there would be no repercussions whatsoever. Now, nowadays, you go to jail. There are fifth and sixth graders all the time who are being locked up for assault. Magic Misfit says normalize sexual harassing again. No, I don't think that's a good idea. But back then, you also ran the risk that they would actually punch you in the fucking face. Stevie says it happened to me daily in middle school. I hated every minute of it. Snapping the bra and grabbing my ass. All right. I forgot how I got to that point. I think it was talking about the size of these ladies' boobies. So overall, Rebecca is up 0.8 on the week, which means overall her 16.1. She is down after 23 weeks. Jeremy, the guy who started it all for us 50 weeks ago, is down 0.8 pounds. He says, yeah, not my best, not my worst. Well, it doesn't really matter at this point because you are still, I mean, at this stage of the game effort, after losing 119 pounds, yeah, your weight losses will get smaller and smaller. But still, you go from 216.4 to 215.6. You're down 0.8 for a grand total of 119.8 pounds over 50 weeks. You know, I just saw, what's the name of the guy with the tattoos on his face? Jelly Roll. Jelly Roll just gave an update. He shared that he is now down 200. Now, Jeremy was 330 or so. Jelly Roll was 540. Isn't that something to think that Jelly Roll has dropped now 200 and he still is heavier than what Jeremy was when he started? So now that he's 357, actually, I guess 207, wait a minute. If you're 357, okay, so nearly 200 pounds. He wants to lose another 100 pounds. You know, that's another year and a half. This takes time. That is outstanding.
Saving money on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Menards has a huge selection of concrete and mortar mixes. Our concrete products are great for a variety of applications, including pouring a walkway, setting a post, or even installing stone veneer. View our entire selection of concrete mixes and supplies in-store and on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer for more great deals happening this week. Save big money at Menards.
I often wonder, and we can often pick the brain of Jeremy, about what it's like to be in a body that not that long ago was that much heavier. And he's talked about how it's an amazing feeling. So good on Jelly Roll. I think that is probably the best part of this guy. I've never really tried to listen to his music, but this is great. Keep it up, Jelly. Keep it up, Jeremy. Keep it up, all of you. Outstanding work. Nick says, not sure. I know he has been working with DDP to help lose the work. Because Linda had asked, is he on meds? Jeremy writes, I feel like a different person. My outlook on life is different. I feel like a decent person now. Well, but that's crazy that you didn't feel like a decent person because you weighed 330 pounds. I guess it takes a toll on a person mentally. Because from a humanitarian standpoint, I'm sure you're the same person. He says, I have more energy. I can walk miles without feeling winded. Corey says Jelly Roll moved to Florida so he could train in the WWE Performance Center every day. Yeah, you know what's interesting is I actually find Jeremy's efforts to be more impressive than Jelly Roll. Because Jelly Roll started with, if he wanted to, he could devote all of his time to losing weight because he's got all the money he could ever want because he's become very, very popular. Okay, so there's that. Like if Jelly Roll wanted to, he wouldn't have to do anything but lose weight. He could make that his job for extended time, for as long as he wanted to. Okay. Jeremy has to work for a living. There is no, I can't just stop and go and do that. And he's managed to work in a job that is where you're sedentary. He's driving a truck. And he's still managed to do it. That's in a career where you've got all sorts of temptations on the road to eat like garbage. And so he's able to do that, exercise, and still have that much going on. Magic Misfit, who I don't know who that is, send me an email. Please identify yourself, eric@ericzaneshow.com, or do it on the chat. Borderline sick of Jelly Roll. MF-er is all over the radio. I guess Diamond Dallas Page helped former pro wrestler Lex Luger walk again. I didn't know the guy couldn't walk. Jeremy says, eating a lot to cope with depression. Depression leads to no confidence in myself. No confidence leads to feeling like a bad person. I get you. Which leads to more depression, which leads to more overeating, which restarts the cycle. God damn. So as we were leaving Fear Bunker North and headed back, as I was driving away, I looked at the time. It was just after noon. And at that time, there was a horrific crash that was happening miles away, and I had no idea. But I found this out because there was a news story about it. And on my way home, you head down this road called 131, and I see on the app that it's closed. 131 is closed. And now, I don't know why at this point why it's closed, but I was assuming there was an accident, and boy, was there. Because I found out when I got home and I'm laying in my bed, saying my prayers and going to bed, there was a couple that was driving. Well, it was siblings, actually, a brother and a sister. Bro was from around here. Sister was from Minnesota, and they had a dog with them. And all they know is that at one point on the road, they went off the road at speed. So 70, 80 miles an hour, maybe more, who knows. And, you know, like when you're about to go under a bridge, there's the concrete that supports the bridge either side of the road. They hit that. And the thing went up in flames, the car. So that was that. Siblings, dog, done. They are not okay. It's just crazy to me that while I'm... all right, it's time to go. That was actually unfolding. As we're getting closer to the point where the interstate is closed, I got off of the interstate and took my own detour, and it was slow as fuck because every car that was on the interstate is now trying to get away from it. It was remarkable. And the thing was closed the whole day because the thing burnt so much that it damaged the structure of that bridge. So everything is all fucked up. Just remarkable to me that all happened. Rebecca says the same thing. That poor dog. Yeah, I'm always more concerned about the animals. That's kind of wrong. I mean, I'd be concerned about everybody, but if somebody said, "All right, easy," would you prefer? I would be like, "Yeah." If I had to choose, I would take the dogs over the people. Molly and Jeremy are chatting back and forth. Jeremy says, "Molly, I feel proud of myself now, proud of my weight loss, and proud of myself when I do well at pinball tournaments. Hell, just last Friday, I played a game against the 700th ranked player in the world and beat him by a lot. I was so damn proud, and I never felt that when I was fat. I was almost always ashamed of myself. You did? You beat the 700th ranked player in the world? So does that mean you're in the rankings now of top pinball players in the world? You mean to tell me in the past 50 weeks you've become a pinball wizard? Did you not play pinball before you started losing the weight? Because I know you started spending your time at like pinball, playing pinball instead of eating. That's awesome. All right. Jeremy says, I beat him 153 million to 20 million. I need to know more about pinball rankings. Today we have the Eric Zane Show podcast, Big Fraud Book Club on Patreon. And boy, am I excited about this. We've been reading The Heroin Diaries by Nikki Six. The homework assignment was have it done. We will figure out, we will discuss the book coming up. We've already discussed a portion of the book, and then now the homework assignment was finish the book up, and we'll finish discussing it. And so I finished that book, and I have to say that I think the thing about the book that I need to break down, and I don't want to steal any of the thunder about it, but this is a book about Nikki Six as he was in the throes of his heroin addiction right around the year 1987. There's a lot that I wasn't aware of when it comes to Nikki Six. I will say that I don't give a fuck about any of his music. Chris says, save it for the book club. Oh, no, I'm not going to say anything about the book. I'm just going to say this. When it comes to Nikki Six, there is zero interesting to me about anything creatively that Nikki Six does. Nothing. Just my personal preference. Like, there is nothing that he does that makes me go, oh, wow. And he does a lot. I am impressed with zero of it. Fortunately for him, a lot of people have been over the years impressed with him. Or interested. The only thing interesting to me about Nikki Six is beating heroin. Outside of that, I don't give a fuck. Piano Finger Banger says, not a Crew fan? Well, I mean, whatever. I guess if you're into cartoon hair rock. No, I've not really been. I mean, there's a few songs I like. Oh, yeah, that sounds good. But like Nikki, he has a band that he put out called 6 a.m. And I have no desire to even hear it. Just not interested in it. But however, his story with heroin addiction and his story about the debauchery that he was involved in. And in particular, one of the things that actually rubbed me the wrong way about Nikki is, well, I'll save it for the book club. I wonder if he ever made amends. There's just a couple things, and I don't know that he has. And I think it's not everybody's perfect. I mean, when it comes to addiction, I'm sure there's a lot of people I pissed off, but and you're supposed to make amends unless if it actually hurts people. Like if you're reaching out to make amends, causes people to actually cause a disruption in their life. No, you just fucking don't even worry about it. Just move on. So, despite being one of the worst human beings on the planet, I still think he is worth something. The Magical Misfit writes, did you see Josh Hamilton was inducted into the Texas Rangers Major League Baseball Hall of Fame? Another addict who was a great athlete, but the addiction got in the way. Read his first book. Yeah, I remember Josh Hamilton. I don't know if he's... Last I remember about Josh Hamilton was, years ago, that guy was had all the talent in the world. Then it pissed it all away because of whatever he was addicted to. And then he got it back somehow and became clean, and then his career skyrocketed, and then he fucked it all up again. That's all I remember. So I couldn't tell you if he's clean and sober still or what. Piano Finger Banger says the only guy in the crew that was worth a shit was Mick Mars. That's kind of what I want to talk about on the Big Fraud Book Club. In my opinion, Mick Mars is the unsung hero of the whole damn deal. Which, by the way, I was reading a little bit more about the ailment that Mick Mars has. I forget the name of it. But what it does is, like, if you can picture your spine and the vertebrae, and then there's a disc between it. The spine vertebrae grow together and it becomes fused, and the spine doesn't move, is rigid. This poor son of a bitch has been in pain since his fucking 20s. If anybody has deserved to get a pass to be on drugs, it's Mick fucking Mars. This poor son of a bitch. Oh, his whole life he's been through the ringer. Book club commences tonight at 6 p.m. I'll send you the Zoom invite. If you want to be in on book club, all you got to do is say, EZ, I'm in on book club. I need who you are so that, because each time we finish a book, another member of book club picks the book. So then once we finish the next book, we will have another name drawn, and then you will pick the book. So if you are already in book club, I have a book ready to go. More on that in a second. But you got to let me know. So you can reach out, eric@ericzancho.com, Shoreliner Striping Inbox. And Magical Misfit says, I only basically read nonfiction. Yeah, I get that. But the point of book club is like basically you're going to get exposed to everything. Like, this was nonfiction. But there will be, it just depends on what the person who's choosing chooses. Nick in Houston went with a recommendation from Anthony Jeselnik, a story called Martyr by Kaveh Akbar, which I believe is a work of fiction. So there you go. You get in on book club. You read the book, and then on Patreon, we discuss the book. That's it. So, Martyr by Kaveh Akbar. So after we discuss the Heroin Diaries tonight at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, then once that's done, we close the book on that, so to speak, and then we start reading Martyr. I don't know what the fuck this book is about. I have no idea. But I just ordered it, and then it'll be here tomorrow, and then we start reading. Booby Lover 9000 says, the last time I joined a book club, they all ganged up on me and took my phone and wallet. And that person gave me 5 bits. Thank you. I don't get the joke. Amy says, I'll be late to book club tonight. Rebecca says she'll be late too. Chris K already started the book Martyr. I have a workplace meeting to get to for Q100 Michigan. Before I get to that, I want to mention some of my sponsors that help make this show possible. King's Room Barbershop has 3 locations in West Michigan. Their website is kingsroom.net. You can go there to get exact locations, schedules. Haircut will set you back $21. That's where guys get their hair cut or girls who like short hair. Excuse me. They've got a location on Northland Drive, Caledonia, and at 821 36th Street, kingsroom.net. For more than 52 years, they've been cutting hair. King's Room Barbershop for dudes or chicks who like short hair. Also, if you are in West Michigan and you want a tree removed, call Kuiper Tree Care. They do tree removal, stump grinding, tree pruning, storm cleanup, and tree risk assessment with their 3 certified arborists. 616-828-8225 for Kuiper Tree Care, K-U-I-P-E-R, treecare.com. Thank you so much to them. Call or text, and they will visit you and give you an estimate. Chris K. writes, Beth over at King's Room Barbershop cut my hair on Friday. Fantastic job. Thank you. I hope you mentioned your old pal, EZ. I'm sure you did, because I know that's how you roll. Finally, for this half of the show, Oakland Auto Detail wants to detail your vehicle. Now, if you just want to go with the interior cleaning, the exterior cleaning, that's totally cool. They can do that for you. If you want to go the fine detail, which includes the ceramic coating, it's a higher end, more involved job, but you're protecting your investment. I can't say enough about the ceramic coating job that they did on Pooh Bear's Accord. It looks brand new. Oakland Auto Detail. Call or text 616-510-3470. One of the things they're interested in at Oakland Auto Detail is getting more people to follow them on Facebook. So they've given me that task to do. If you could, if you're within the sound of my voice right now on Facebook, look up Oakland Auto Detail. Follow the page. Like the page. Now, what that does is Eric and Kristen from Oakland Auto Detail, they see more people following the page, and they know that you came from me, and that helps me. Also, if you want to leave a message on some of their videos, say, hey, I love this video Eric Zane sent me. That way they know that you're from me. They have a number of videos. They post an additional one every single day of the car that they are working on that day. So it's a fun follow on Facebook, because you're seeing the process of a car that needed some TLC. They go through the paces, make the car look brand new, and then you see the video in a nice encapsulated feature that they make for their Facebook page. So if you could like it, and maybe with a comment on there, say, oh, this looks great, Eric and Kristen, Eric Zane sent me. That would make my life a lot easier. And then they know that you heard about them from me. There you go. Thank you so much. Magical Misfit says, the damn pictures of Zane's wife with snacks and his dogs. My girlfriend loved those. Where was that? Was that on my Facebook page or something? I don't recall. Sometimes I forget what I put on there. All right, it's meeting time for the radio station. Thank you and bye-bye. All right, that is Act 1 of the podcast. Act 2 is available right after this one. Go check it out. What are you doing? Don't miss a second of it. Thank you so much.
Save big money on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Menards has a huge selection of concrete and mortar mixes. Our concrete products are great for a variety of applications, including pouring a walkway, setting a post, or even installing stone veneer. View our entire selection of concrete mixes and supplies in-store and on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer for more great deals happening this week. Save.